Now, we'll take you back to the voodoo days with actual Joe Dunn Sloan. He was real funny about how he made, quote, quote, B cells. Do you remember? He was very weird about it, like things are a certain way or you got to be this way or no, that's not right, or some of those bill of particular details. He had a quite a function that he followed or went by on purpose. It was a little bit of a control thing, you know, right before Bob killed him. You know how it goes.
Right. Okay, good, 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 good obedience. Now.
So good to see this. Okay, so my first question is, I've noticed actual sub-geniuses, I kind of go to their Facebook page, and they're connected to Stang Scene and probably even on his private forum, are more and more of those Stang people, a couple of them I recognize, are asking to be on my Facebook page. They're noticing something's up with us. They're hearing about what Ayn says.
Yeah.
Because here's an example. Ayn says, well, Bob's going to meet the aliens. Any subgenius hear that, they say, well, no, we're going to do that. Or that's our joke. But Bob, he used to be part of us, and he claimed he was going to do it. He's doing it. This voice is saying he's doing it. Are they quite, you know, agitated or shocked by you saying this? And they're hearing
it.
So they are intrigued in coming over, right? Coming over. It's almost like getting respect. They're starting to respect me.
Yeah.
So they're not coming over. They might try to make noise and disrupt things, but not so much, I would guess. They're genuinely interested. No, they're not.
Yeah.
They are.
They
don't know. They don't know what they're going to do. Right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, because they could decide that I'm lying. But there's nobody in the world being told by an interesting voice that knows all the terms of their world is saying, Bob's going to do this. So there might have to be a few intelligent people in their group that would say, what's this? So that is happening, right? They're coming over. Saying isn't yet. I don't think he ever will. But he's got a lot of problems.
May not. It's just all ridiculous. His world is just falling down.
Right. All right, so one of these guys,
the bridge is falling down,
who might be a subgenius, says, try to steer clear of the hype. He says it's on May 6th. Try to steer clear of the hyper-divisive fallout of the strange period of crisis. I think people are doing a pretty great job responding to all of these implemented changes, and I'm sad to see how unhelpfully politicized it's become. Endless unhelpful social media orgies of infantile scapegoating, shooting fish in a barrel on our phones for a vapid sense of righteousness. It always feels good to shame something, even if it's a caricatured silhouette. All I'm saying is let us focus on what we love and recognize the constant baiting we experience to keep us in a constant cycle of manufactured outrage. Are we going to get, you know, we know he's responding to the tech body and the noise, the news. Is it going to even get worse in terms of noise? It is. It's going to get, people are going to die from the noise.
If it keeps going, it's going to be almost as bad as Baltimore, Bob.
Baltimore right now, the way Baltimore has all that shooting?
Yeah.
All right.
They'll bust a cap in the ass over there.
Yeah. Over the past couple of weeks, on the Joe Rogan show, are you aware of that? The Joe Rogan experience?
Joe Rogan, that's so funny. That's like Art Linkletter.
No, that's right. No, I agree. But here's the thing: he has interesting guests for us to play off. So there was this guy named Dr. Ben Goertzel, Goertzel. He might be in his 40s now or something. Dr. Ben Goertzel is the founder and CEO of Singularity Net, a blockchain-based AI marketplace. Now, he seems to be quite successful, and he's talking about, well, in the future, I hope to keep my physical self as an ongoing unit and have a paradise, no disease, live forever and enjoy that. But I want to make other selves that will go into the other stuff. Maybe we call it the chip landscape or the tech body. So he has quite elaborate futuristic visions of how we're going to do incredible things with technology, many timelines and kind of stuff. Is that accurate, his words and what he's visioning, like his content, what he thinks he's saying and referring to may not be accurate, but the words are accurate, would you say, or they're not?
Some of them are borrowed. He has fortitude that's sincere, but his thesis is diluted, you see?
Right.
So he'll say a few good sentences, but he's not going the right way.
Right, because he's not, I see Ion saying where we're going, which is the result of non-physical merging with physical. You need to work with us, our products, our technologies, not this sort of rigid software based on previous software coming out of the Jobs
world. He's the one, if we said you got to smoke a cigarette in order to ascend, they would light the cigarette from the wrong end.
He's a little off. Okay, I sort of noticed that.
Reverse.
Yes. He's an old, he says an anarchist socialist. He's kind of a contradictory
thing. Whatever that means. Then it's like,
And
I like it real good. And I love this socialism as long as I can do what I want, when I want, the way I want to. I'm a number one socialist.
Right. And so it's true that he's well known and he's got a big reputation in technology, advanced AI technology. He works in it.
Computer says no, or he'd live in Cupertino, California.
He'd be there, not in Hong Kong, married to a Chinese communist.
Right.
Okay, so what attracted people's attention? Well, this is 2 years ago. What attracted people's attention to him? What did he do that?
I think they're not attracted to him.
Okay. So, what's he going to say?
It's like Thompson. It's like Thompson. Thompson, no one thinks more of Thompson than Thompson does.
Right. Okay, so.
Just listen. Just ask him. He'll tell you.
Right. So the, let's see, what was I saying? It was interesting to listen to him. But the changes in our lifestyle as we get more absorbed in the tech body or more understanding of it, if we're ascending, will be way different from what any of the computer nerd futurists are projecting. Correct?
Yeah, it'll become less and less and less computer and more and more and more normal.
Oh, it'll be less technology? Less digital technology?
It'll be so complete technology that you won't even notice. It'll be your whores will be robots, but they'll have softer skin than any human you've ever been with.
Wow, the whores, the prostitutes, you said.
Whatever. Yeah. The water will be made by robots, but it'll be the best water that ever was.
Will it be equal to our living water?
No, but like what you take a bath in and stuff, you know.
Oh, okay, yeah. So there'll be a lot of people living in that perfect world, the way you're describing it, and the technology will be invisible. It'll look like a normal body.
Yeah, that's right. You won't have Siri or Alexa or all these different things peeping at you, poking at you. It'll become just natural. Do you remember?
Yeah. Gaddafi, the head of Libya, was he murdered or was that a double or replaced?
It was a double. Muammar Gaddafi was murdered, but it wasn't him.
How did he arrange for that person to?
He was a clone. He was a clone. It was one of the first clones.
How did
Gaddafi have clones?
How did he get to that technology?
He borrowed it from another realm.
So he's
How did Gaddafi get in power in the first place? That's what's always asked your goddamn question. He was ridiculous.
Yeah. And
he was ridiculous. He couldn't run. He couldn't run his own. He couldn't control his own dick. How's he supposed to run a country?
Yeah. So how did he do that?
He borrowed technology from another land, far, far away.
Was he born here, or he came from another world from the get-go?
Okay, he was born here, but not quite in this realm. Does that make sense?
Right.
He was born in Canada. He was born in Canada, But not this Canada.
Right. It's like I'm not in Maui.
Kind of. But yeah. Still earthbound. Still came from earth. So we're not saying, you know, we're not saying that.
Yeah, you know, I met a guy in 1973 in Halifax, and he told me that Gaddafi was going to be the Antichrist. But he pointed out the role of Gaddafi, who'd only been in power for a few years. I didn't know much about him. But he said, pay attention to this guy. So did I, in some part of myself, pay attention to Gaddafi and knew what he was, knew he was different?
Yes, you did. Because, you kind of do that to everybody, Bob.
Yes, that's right. And did he, is he interested in what we're doing? Like, give him a reason to be around?
No, it's like your mother. He's just very, very, very thrilled with how it all came out, but he's not impressed by it. It's just the norm. It's the, just the day-to-day, the go-to. This is what we do today. This is what we had to do, that kind of stuff.
Right. Now, when you talk about the bases off of L.A., Florida, and maybe Bimini, the three bases that had UFO, have some stuff, nitrous something, and had contact with UFOs, did they have contact and get stuff from the UFOs, or was stuff they discovered that was left for them?
Both. It's ongoing, Bob.
Beg your pardon?
We're saying it's ongoing, Bob. We're saying the aliens are here, they're entrenched, they're ready to be brought forth. They've been here forever.
How many in the Pentagon, Project Paperclip gang from Nazi Germany, the Wernher von Braun people, know about this situation?
Almost all of them that have a security clearance.
All the aliens do?
Yeah,
or the
people
Nazis.
Working in the... Bob... That's what you're doing. That's what you're doing.
I'm doing some kind of official acknowledgement of them, whereas people in the Pentagon have met these UFO aliens from other worlds, foreign bodies.
We didn't say all that. They know about them. There's a difference between a classified debriefing and actually being in the pussy of. There's a little difference, you see.
Well, how many people have had the physical contact? One person?
11.
11 people. Is that a metaphor for our team on the show? We have 11 listeners?
No.
Okay.
No.
So 11.
Who have briefing, they have enough to have interaction and can handle it. That means because there's more power flux. The way the power flows through them is different. So
you got to be able to handle it.
Everybody can do. That's right.
Yeah.
Good. Now you're getting that much better.
Can we play all
you keep
of this
part? Except for the part that you just had to flip out. But
Yeah, it's good people know. So the basis stuff was left. So did those 11 interact with the, quote, aliens and were given stuff? Or was it left, you know, one night and they found it later?
Both. It's ongoing, Bob. You have a ton of technology. That's where you're borrowing now. That you could you'd have Glastic already in play already right now, but you can't produce it, and it just makes it becomes a flying saucer. You can't do that like that.
That it goes off and becomes a flying saucer, like in the wrong direction. You end up making a flying saucer, and that's not Glastic.
Correct. You gotta be able to have the technology to have the technology. Like you went from zero to nothing, and now everybody's got more power in their hand than they had on the first space mission.
Right.
It's ridiculous. You don't gain that much technology. Technology didn't make itself, did it?
Well, many of the fringe, Bill Cooper and people with very bad reputations who went off the deep end, they would say we got our technology from the aliens. So they were correct on that statement.
Well, maybe, but we could say, what have you done with it? You know, it's kind of like, oh, well, we made it on this journey. Well, it's a three-day journey. You just took 40 years to get there. Don't brag about your 40-day, 40-year journey. It only takes 3 days.
Right. So do those 11 know that I'm the one scheduled to meet with the aliens?
Yes. And that's why they're fighting fire, trying to, like with us, trying to keep your damn ass alive.
They're fighting with you to get to off me.
Mm-mm. No.
What?
They're fighting with us to make sure you are still alive. You take too many chances. You're too avant-garde. You're wild as a March hare, Bob.
Well, what would you recommend I do to take that back? You'd probably say, don't do anything, Bob. That's the way you are. But
well,
if you're,
you already don't do anything. Do less of nothing, Bob. Do a little less of nothing. do just a little less of nothing, Bob. Take nothing and do a little bit less than nothing, and you'll be perfect. They'll like that a lot.
All right.
You jump right in things. You jump in fights you don't need to be. You try to save salons that don't need saving. You're avant-garde all over the place out there. You're killing people trying to buy their libraries from widders when they had a man would have sold you the damn library. But no, you kill them off and then try to Jew the damn widder out of the damn library. That's ridiculous what you go through, what you do. It's incredible. You just try to get the inventory, and then you question the logging of what books are there, and they're missing. Oh, it's just it's amazing. The enemies.
Okay.
The enemies. The enemies that you stacked like cordwood.
All right. Someone said, Bob, ask Ed Sullivan if Bob was a great DJ. What would Ed Sullivan say? Am I a great DJ?
Ed Sullivan would say that you have a construct of how animation can soothe an audience into recognition. So you soothe the audience to recognize the art that you're portraying. Now, they really don't like it, but they have to engage it. They have to engage it.
Right.
Ed Sullivan would say.
All right.
From the Ed Sullivan Theater.
Right. Okay.
Why wouldn't you have Lucille Ball? Why wouldn't you have Lucille Ball ask the question? She'd give you a better answer.
Well, okay. I'll take Lucille Ball's answer. What'd she say?
What? She's like, because you're the funniest man ever.
Ah, that's a good that's a compliment.
Yeah.
One of the best.
Sure.
One of the best.
You make the mundane hysterical.
That's right. Is that because I have a good sense of the absurdity of consciousness?
No, because you don't have a clue. You don't know where you are. You don't know what you are. You don't know what you do. You know what you've done. You know what you're going to do. You know what you're capable of. You know what you've already messed up. You fucked up more things than most people have ever done in their whole entire life and giggled about it. And come back with a bash and say, well, I don't do anything. But well, can you tell him, did I do that? Yes, Bob, you did. Bob, it's a cursor. Right click. I'm not a cursor. I am says bad words, but I'm not a cursor. If I curse you, it'll be ugly. And I'm not going to left curse you, and I'm not going to right curse you. And I don't have control, but I've got a button. And I'll push that button. Don't you think I won't push that button? Why am I even speaking to you? Get off this telephone. I'm not talking anymore. And
you,
I'm
don't
not
run
talking
nothing.
Anymore.
You don't run this.
You don't run this. I got this. And I'm still not going to right-click your left cursor. I'm not going to right-click your left cursor. You better know that. See, that's just rich, Bob. When you listen to that, it makes – and see, you're in this conundrum of how ridiculous that is. And it's still funny to you because you're like, oh, yeah, there was something about that. That was funny. It's fresh and new. It's fresh and new. It's like Rhoda. Do you remember Rhoda?
Yeah, that was Barry Tyler Moore world.
Yeah, well, that was she was the spinoff of Bernstein.
Yeah.
She was the
right.
spinoff of Mary Tyler Moore. And so
yeah.
was and Cloris Leachman. Remember Cloris
yeah,
Leachman?
Yeah. Never watched
her.
Any of their
and
shows.
Phyllis Diller was in there before her 99,000 facelifts. It was good.
Yeah, but that whole thing about the right click, I just had that conversation with my computer mentor or computer helper. He was, you replayed it exactly the way it went. And
mm-hmm.
Now, is Lucille, I look so ridiculous. Does that make her feel superior, or she gets the humor?
Yeah.
She enjoys the humor of it.
She gets humanity. People are funny, Bob. People are funny. That's what comedic value is all based on, how silly and real it is. Because if that weren't real, that wouldn't be funny at all. It's like, what do you mean? You right kicked the mouse? Are you talking about mouse? I don't let mouses in the house. I don't have any mouses. We don't have any rats. No, you rats. You dirty rat. You dirty rat. You get out of this house, you dirty rat. You know, you don't do that because it's fun because it's obvious.
Okay,
and that's
good.
Why it's fresh and new. That's how Carolyn's put up with you for the last 3 years, anyway.
We kept her laughing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tariq, who's been on the show, he sent me a picture of his garden. He had a high-growing plant, a big leaves of vegetables. Are all those vegetables completely empty of nutrition? Because we don't get nutrition in...
They have no nutrition at all.
And they look good. He can make them grow good.
Yeah.
And he says that's 50 years of learning gardening, and he can do that, but he would be quite shocked to be told they had no nutrition in them. Wow,
right.
That's pretty.
He wouldn't believe it. He doesn't believe it. He doesn't know, but that's why he looks the way he does. He's not eating nutrition.
Great. Okay. We have a request from a newbie. Hello, Bob and Ian. I was recommended to you by Brian from Bolivia. Brian has been on the show many times. He's been living in Bolivia lately. He claims to be, you know, influential down there for our products getting into South America. He says, I have published relatively simple solutions to the two biggest mathematical problems of all time. One math problem is an elementary proof of Fermat's last theorem. I've heard about that. An indirect proof was originally published in two papers by Andrew Wiles and Taylor in the 90s. I remember that. They made a big hoopla. This guy had solved the Fermat's last theorem. I found a direct elementary proof of Fermat's last theorem attached below as document 302.11, which is much simpler and brief. The other math problem is currently widely regarded as the most famous unsolved problem of mathematics. It's called the Riemann hypothesis. That's Lucius' hero. It is called the Riemann hypothesis, and it is related to the distribution of prime numbers. I am claiming to have found a simple proof of the Riemann hypothesis attached below as document 302.13. Both papers are published in the Journal of Advances in Mathematics and Computer Science, but this journal is not properly respected by the majority of the academic community. Nevertheless, my two papers are sitting in its archive at, and he gives the link. I currently believe that my solutions of these two math problems are correct and easy to understand. They should be important achievements if they are correct. Okay, here's his question. What are your opinions on these publications? That can mean the magazine, but let's say he means his work. If you agree that they are correct, are you able to help to get proper recognition? Let's just deal with first part. Are they correct? Is he assessing what he's
not
done?
He's not a number file.
Well, the papers are a number. Is that what you're referring to?
The number file. The hypothesis is based on the number file.
Oh, that's a mathematical term.
Yeah.
And he's not doing it, or he's...
No. Okay, we're going to do this real quick to make it easy because you're running out of time. 2, 3, 5, 7, 11, 13, 17, 19, 23, 29, P. What is P? It's equal 31. What is the next P? It's 37. The P after that, 41, and then 43. How, bud? How do you know what comes next? That's the Riemann hypothesis.
Right. So you've shown where he's incomplete. It doesn't make it. And the same applies to the other one.
The properties of prime numbers that history says is a prime number for mathematical geniuses. That proof of infinity of primes by Euclid or Euclid's product formula that connects the prime numbers to the zeta function from Gauss to, you can go on and on and on and on and on. Shit, from 1859 forward, those are the distribution of primes in the days of how prime numbers are not divisible by themselves. The most important papers of number theory. Now, what this particular function is supposed to be the main reason for the proof of something called the prime number theorem. That's what they're trying to validate. Okay, they've got new proofs. Oh, my God, new elementary proofs that you've got worked out. But the hypothesis and the roots of the zeta function are a mystery because you can't get there. can't get that many primes, you see?
And he thinks he has gotten there.
Yeah, because what they're trying to say is assume that a set of prime numbers is not infinite. Make a list of all the primes. Next, let P, the product of all the primes in the list, multiply all the primes in the list, add 1, resulting in Q equals P plus 1. As all numbers, this is the Q to be either prime or composite. If Q is prime, you found a prime that is not in the list of all the primes. Now, Q is not prime, it's composite. That means example, made up of prime numbers, which is would be divisible by Q, or you would divide Q, since all composite numbers are the product of prime numbers. Each prime P that makes up P obviously divides P. So if P divides both P and Q, then it would have to also divide the difference between the two, which is 1. No prime number divides 1, and so that the P can't be on your list. Another contradiction, that your list contains all prime numbers. That's the problem.
Is he not knowledgeable in math enough to tackle these two major questions and problems?
He can't figure out the difference of making up the premise of non-primes, and he has left off the composite filter, or a sieve.
A sieve? S-I-V-E? S-I-E-V-E?
S-I-E-V-E.
Sieve, right. He left that off, I think you said.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's excellent. And
the sieve of erosithesis.
The sieve of Sisyphus. I know Sisyphus, but you put a syllable in front of it. Erosithesis.
Erosithesis.
That's not Sisyphus who pushes the stone up and down the hill.
Correct.
It's someone else. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
E-R-A. T-O-S-T-H-E-N-E-S.
I know who you mean. LaRouche makes a lot. He figured out the diameter or circumference of the planet.
Yeah.
And like that. Yeah.
Sure
right.
did.
Very
so,
good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Nice. I'm glad that was nice. That was fun for a little second. We had to do a little something. At least we got one thing done, so that's nice.
Yeah. We're going to try a second, and this will be the last thing. Derek DeKirchhoff has included me with his colleague. They're writing up stuff on quantum mechanics, quantum physics, or Q-Tech. You know, ever heard of Q-Tech?
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
he says, so he's talking about one probable effect of rising quantum technologies is that they will be dubbed Q-Tech. So that is what I will call them in this mail. One immediate application will be that what I call the haystack search engine, instead of an analytical bit-by-bit processing, still the prerogative of digital systems, Q-Tech search engines will grab the whole search field at once, not merely finding the needle, but selecting it at once for immediate contextual usage. Is that a fact, what he's projecting?
No, where he's missing is he's missing the oscillators. You have to have the carbon to make the carbon become the oscillator, and then it'll work.
And
so
that's where
that you're in. It's brilliant that you're involved because you're not going to tell them a goddamn thing.
Right. No, but what you just said, can you hear that sentence or we don't say that?
Oh, yeah. Fuck yeah. That's fine. Just tell them you're not going to tell them a thing. You know too much.
Right.
The problem with you, Balls, is you know too way too much. You went
that's
from
right.
not knowing anything to knowing way too much. Just like that. Just like that. It's like, just like that.
Yeah,
you went from
yeah,
zero
yeah.
to hero. Just like that. Karen thought you were rude for all those years, and now you're writing her paychecks. We think it's wonderful.
Okay. Then he says, Q-Tech will be predicated on impermanence, not on continuity and stability. It will turn everything solid into fluid, malleable substance while maintaining enough features and characteristics of the original to keep it useful. More a matter of molding than carving. Is that an accurate statement by Derek, or is he just winging it?
No, you've got it. The coded alphas don't apply. You've got this all upside down.
Okay. Well, he's just entering the field, I think. So
QT10T22.53 × 13.72 × 5.08 is M55301-081W from an amendment. It's only 50 hertz to 500 hertz. You can't go to 500 hertz and turn anything into liquid, for Pete's sake. The disc is only 14 on a 14 pin. You can't run it that way. If QT10 is 22.53 × 13.72 × 5.08, and that quantitative mass can't be more than CMOS-10, you got 15 volts of DC from a dual in line. The QT66T can't be 12.19 × 12.19 × 2.16. The QPL would have to be M55310-19TTL. It's a leaderless chip. You can't do that. Won't make it water. You can't hold your water, let alone make water. So you can turn anything from a point of fluidity, but you don't even recognize that pi has changed. So we think thou dost protest too much.
Well, as Tom Wolfe said to me on February 1999 in the first New York Canadian consulate presentation of McLuhan Matters, after I said my spiel, which you can see on YouTube, well, there you have it. Well, that's what you have to think there. Well, there you have it. What do you think
of
that, Derek?
Awesome, Derek. But now, we will help him, but you're not going to give, and you can be a part of it, do everything you want to do, but you can't give him nothing.
Yes, Derek, you know, you're not a member of the team.
But we'll help.
Yet, let's say.
Now, we'll help. We'll help. He can answer, ask any question he wants. We'll answer anything. We'll engage. We fuck with him. You drug him in here, so we'll fuck with him. It's fine. But don't think Bob's going to give it to you, because he's not going to give it to you. He's not going to give it to you.
Yeah, because the stuff that he's thinking about, we're going to make. That's what these people don't understand.
You're already making, Bob.
We're already making this stuff, Derek. It's just
shits and giggles. So looking for a reason.
But, Derek, you're welcome to get to sort of come in, ask questions, talk about it, hear the answers, to sort of get an idea of what we are doing.
If you have thoughts, and if the China people don't slow you down, and if you find time, and if you can think wholly and have whole thoughts in the engagement and can wrap yourself around the largeness, this is the vicissitude that is your reality, however promulgated from your positional post of relegated reality, if you can fit that into your schedule, please welcome me anytime. Come on in. The water's fine.
Right, Derek. I enjoy your questions. They're great. Help me understand what I'm doing, or at least to get answers from my own.
Nice. It does, because it makes things – it comes from a cleaner perspective. Because what he isn't, Bob, is confused. He's a little deluded, but he's not confused. So that's good. That's good. Because it allows thought to kind of flow, and he's not stuck to it, which is beautiful. Because if you get stuck to it, then you're going to be a Lyndon LaRouche. You only go so far, you're going to be Lyndon LaRouche, and you're going to die right there. But if you don't get stuck there, come on in. Let's go. We tear it up on the weeknights.
Right, so I'll bring up, these are terms that we deal with a lot, so he has a nice paragraph here, so this will be the last part. He says, impact on time, space, and self, colon. So he says, regarding time, the present moment will crown all the other temporal possibilities, making truer McLuhan's jest or serious contention that, quote, everything is now, unquote. That's time. About space, QTech. Oh, maybe you want to comment on that. Comment on that statement about time and everything.
No,
is
there's
now.
Not. Time is no. It's not now. You could say that, but you don't even know what we define now. Marshall McLuhan didn't even know what the fuck now was. He'd go. Yeah, he didn't even know what now was. He would go back to the sages or some empirical reference for some cholera-laced condition that you had to validate that this hooked up across roads from some Roman villa somewhere, that this was now when the roads intersected. We don't even know what now is, so to validate it doesn't quite hold your water.
Excellent. Okay, about space. QTech may achieve teleportation, but that may also be pushing it. So take that with a grain of salt. the issue of self, okay, so he, well, we're going to get teleportation and even different or better than that, correct? It's not a grain
of salt. Even better than the sodium chloride that it's going to take to drive it. What has to happen is you have to realize that you're not, here we go, that you're not bound to this realm in the first place. You don't have to have telekinesis to go somewhere else if you realize you can shift from realm to realm instantaneously. You don't need space travel to validate a timed experience if you're not judged by either.
Excellent.
That's
okay.
That's good words. That's pretty good. That's, you got it right there.
Okay. The issue of self, the third point, is the most complicated because it may not be needed anymore. Even as digital technologies are already ridding our interiority of such cumbersome things as remembering, thinking, and judging, it may also dispense with our self, self in quotes. At first, it will simply emigrate in our digital twin, but since we have, well, he has this concept of digital twin, but since we will have already lost our cognitive autonomy by the time Q-Tech becomes really effective, our physical autonomy will fall under the control of 5 and other generations of G, or 5G plus. So there will be nothing left private, nothing but private, including our movements. You may well ask, should we, the people, stick around?
Sure, well, exactly. We could blow that to death, but it's we the people. You don't know which we is the people, and you're worried about the whole condition. So the position of your condition doesn't know what condition your condition is in. That's like the Congos. Come with me now. You're checking to see what condition your condition is in. So you can't gauge that position because you don't know who you are, where you are, how you got there, and where you're going, and when you got there, and if you are. You recognize yourself when you arrive. If you're there, you didn't know you were there to start with. Rings it all back true all the way through.
But you agree the ascension process drops remembering, thinking, and judging, correct?
You know. You don't think. You know. There's a difference. It's an autonomic response.
Do you remember?
You know. Don't have to remember. You know.
All right.
Do you remember to go pee? Do you remember to go pee?
Yes. No, I know when to pee.
You have an urge, and then you go pee. Nice.
Right.
Okay. So then the good news is that's an autonomic condition or an autonomic response. And that's what he's trying to say, the id drives.
Did you say id, I-D? The id drives.
We did.
Yeah.
We did.
Is that a better definition of self, S-E-L-F?
We hope not.
Well, do you agree that we are getting
clever.
Rid of the self?
No, wait. You're supposed to laugh, because that was clever. We hope not that the id is not self. You get it? The id is not.
I don't know what
he'll get. He'll get that.
Yeah. That's above your pay grade and my pay grade. It's not my grade.
Apparently.
Okay.
Apparently.
Yeah. Okay, look, so this sort of almost cliche idea that the self, a lot of people say the self is going. This Dr. Ben Gertzler was saying that. No more self.
Mm-hmm.
And even Joe Rogan was agreeing. We are going to have a self, but a fuller self, a bigger self.
So they're prescribing you to become selfless then.
Yes, and you wouldn't support that.
No, we want you to ascend, run your kingdom, be God, run your kingdom.
Right, so the literate idea of self, yes, that might be erased by electronic cells, the multi-cells and quadrophenia, but that is not our self, correct?
Well, quadrophenia isn't the problem, that may be the solution. If you could actually embrace quadrophenia, that would be self-correcting, wouldn't it?
Right. Excellent. So we need, it's not so easy to dispense with self. There's a lot of tiger cages and traps in there
It's tough being Bob. That's all we can tell you right now. It's tough being Bob.
You like that, Derek? Okay. Excellent, cool. Derek. So I will excerpt this for Derek and send it to him, and he'll
be able to. Yay! Happy days. tell him to keep his worky job and stay focused. and be a free thinker and don't get trapped. Remember that the nearest emergency exit may indeed be behind you, Derek. We'll help you with the door latch.
Okay, that was a great session. Thank you very much, Ion.
You're welcome very much. Come back and see us sometime. Hey, you want to try and do something on Saturday? What do you think we ought to do?
If my date doesn't show up, I'll be there.
Damn it. All right, good. We'll go. We'll tear it up. Happy day.
Okay. All right. Thank you.